his mouth and blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted with him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted to give power and to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So, what I want to do today is just break this down into, I've got seven little sections here, and I'm going to just highlight for you right now what I'm going to be talking about, because this is a big unit that all works together with the rest of Scripture. So while we're talking about this passage of Scripture, we want to keep going back to every single thing we sang today. Every prophetic word that came out today, none of this stuff about the mark of the beast is independent of his love for us, is independent of the truth that he made a way for us, is independent of our need for repentance, our need to hear him, our need to prophesy. Okay, so don't get into just a silo of the mark of the beast, because that's where you get into the flesh. You can't take this without the full counsel of Scripture. So when we talk today, we're going to be talking about who does the beast blaspheme. We're going to be talking about who the beast is given authority over. What is the only way out of worshiping the beast? What is the most important skill we need to overcome the beast? At the moment of the beast's arrival, what also happens? What else is going on? What's the main aspect the mark concentrates in our hearts and minds? And what does the mark of the beast require? And then I got in one of those situations where I thought a couple entire passages were completely necessary. That's on you. If you'd like to read them, you can. I put a few full passages at the bottom here, and I'll go over some highlights from them. But this is, if I could leave you with anything from this message, it's that the mark of the beast is a whole Bible message. It's a whole Bible message, okay? So if you've been in the prayer room in the last couple weeks, you have heard God. You've heard him speak, okay? And so here's some of the things you would have heard if you've been in the prayer room or watching it. You've heard Tom tell us that we've got to be burning and shining lamps. You've heard Angie say we can't doubt and repent of doubt and ask for faith. You've heard Paula say, we have got to hear God. You've heard Jen say that we've got to be prophetic. We've got to be welcoming. You've heard Alice say the time is near. You've heard Annie say we're being drawn together. you've heard Vince say that we hear God through each other. And this is something I want to encourage you with, because I think there's some of us in here who feel like, I can't hear God. I don't hear God. And the fact is, that's your enemy trying to tell you that. You hear God every time you walk in this room. Every time God speaks to you. Will you receive it? That's the only question. He speaks to you every time. And so I just want to encourage you, you hear God. You want to do something with it, do it. So we've been talking a lot about certain topics here at Lighthop: patience, humility, surrender, yielding. My prayer today is that we would let our will yield to His. I feel like I've been hearing the Lord talking a lot about how He wants to weave all of these things, patience, humility, surrender, back in and through the truth of the mark of the beast. We need to look at the mark with fresh eyes of the spirit, not eyes of the flesh. And I found this to be really helpful. I actually went back over some old teachings that Tom did about the mark of the beast. And I asked the Holy Spirit to help me lay down my fleshy responses and let the Spirit talk to me. And even though I thought the Spirit was talking to me back then, and He was, I saw some things in ways that I never saw them before. And that's true of all of the teaching here at Lighthop. You go back to it and you see something that is fresh and new. It's arrogance that leads to the taking of the mark. Selfishness will play a big part in it as well. It feels personal, like kind of like it's nobody's business. Like I really notice this a lot with the COVID-19 vaccine, and I'll talk more about that. Hot preview. I don't think the COVID-19 vaccine's the mark of the beast, but I also think we might want to act a little bit like it is in the way that we talk to God. So I'll talk more about that. But we think that this is a personal thing, so it's like something we don't talk about. And I think we want to be careful with what we talk about and what we don't talk about, in terms of we don't want to tell people what to do, but we also want to talk about our processes with the Lord, because all the mark of the beast is about, and all the COVID vaccine is about, and all whether or not you're even going to come up to this microphone and talk about, it's all about hearing God and doing what He said. That's all this is about. And so again, if you're not hearing God, you've got to reset your mind, because A, you are hearing God, and B, you need to hear God more, just like me, right? So we want to talk to each other about these things, but we don't want to insert fear into people or try to control them to see things the way that we see them, okay? So fear and control, we're automatically messing up if fear and control is driving us in any way. And I'll just tell you, if you've received any emails from someone about the COVID vaccine or the mark of the beast lately, you've received fear and control emails. Like, it's out there. That's all that's in our society right now, is fear and control. So we just want to walk away from that and put our eyes on God and what is He saying to us. We are asking how not to lean on our own understanding, but to acknowledge Him in all our ways and let Him direct our paths. That's Proverbs 3:6. We'll talk about this later, but Luke 21 talks about the importance of watching so that we're not caught unaware. So we're going to keep trying to tie Revelation 13 back to the rest of the story the Bible's telling. We try to put our information in our life, like when we study the Bible, we might study His grace, and then we might study His righteousness, and then we might study end time judgments, and we might study glory, we might study healing. But what we want to do is bring all of these things together. They're all like, I just picture it like how the planets are going around the sun and they're like getting closer and further and closer. It's all spinning around and we want to look at it that way. So we've really got to sift out some of the lies that we tell ourselves in Christianese. And I want to tell you something. Some of you today are going to say, she's talking about me because I just said that to her. And I'm telling you something. I'm talking about you because you said it to me. But there are three other people in this room who have said the same thing to me. I've heard it on the phone with my mom. I've talked to my sister about, like, these are things people are thinking. These are things I'm thinking. So don't take it like she's talking to me, but don't take it like I'm not, right? I'm talking to all of us, and mostly I'm talking to me. So there's some lies that we tell ourselves when we're thinking we hear the Lord. One of the lies that we can tell ourselves is, I have peace about this. Have you ever said it? Yeah. Sometimes God gives us peace about something. You know what happens sometimes? We're relieved to stop thinking about something, and we've mistaken that for the peace of the Lord. What do you do? What's the way out of that? Somebody knows it. What? Repent and ask him, Lord, am I feeling your peace or am I feeling relief? He'll tell you. He'll tell you if it's his peace. But if you haven't bothered to ask him, you're just like, whew, I feel better, so I'm making the right choice right now. No, those are your emotions, right? They might not be his peace, but don't miss it. He gives peace. That's a promise from him. It's just asking him, is this you? Is this your peace, God? So we sift out the difference between peace and relief. And another thing is opposite thinking. This is the belief that I'm all bad. I think bad stuff. And so if I'm going to do something that the Lord's saying, I better just do the opposite of whatever I think. There's a whole Seinfeld episode. I'm not recommending you watch it, but George, a main character, he decides literally to do the opposite of everything he thinks. And he gets a little caught because he likes a tuna salad sandwich and he can't figure out if salmon is the opposite of that or if it's egg salad. Salmon swim upstream, tuna the other one. Okay. Anyway, I had to explain it because you haven't all watched Seinfeld. But what I'm saying to you is this, and I've heard this from a lot of people and I've said it myself. God must be telling me to do this because I would never think of that myself, right? How many of you know the enemy tells us stuff too? So easy peasy, all we do is we say, God, are you saying that God is not out to trick us? He is not trying to fool us, and he talks to us. He reveals his will to us. So we've just got to get out of these habits that we have, because if we are, if I'm being transformed into the image of Christ, which I hope I am, I hope you are my thoughts becoming more like his or less? More like his. So that opposite argument should actually be working less and less in me. My thoughts should actually be more and more often not the opposite of God's thoughts. Okay, so let's be careful with what we encourage each other in, because I've had some of you say these things to me, and I'm like, yeah, yeah, that's the case. Dean, did you want to say something? Yeah, so Dean is saying that they wrote down, look for reasons why it is the mark and not reasons why it isn't. Yeah, I think that's really good advice for approaching the mark of the beast, and we'll be talking about that. So I think I'm going to walk forward here. The whole word hangs together and it can't be separated. So when we consider end time events like the mark of the beast or the falling away, we can't study them separated from the rest of the word. Over and over, the Bible says, do not be deceived. Tom's actually showed us, and I just found while I was looking, there's 100 different times that the Bible talks about that. What we need to do with that is accept the fact that we can be deceived and ask God to help us not to be. But I want to tell you a couple of ways and reasons we get deceived. One, we get deceived by reading Bible verses in isolation. You know, you just flip up and you read that one verse and you don't put it together with the rest of its context. Number two, we're deceived by teachers who do that. We're deceived by teachers that get up on the stage and read verses in isolation, telling you only that isolated truth about it. Again, what do we do about this? We pray and we read the word ourselves. We get deceived by not getting the context of the passage. So what I'm talking about is now we get the broader, maybe you've gone out to the chapter, but we also get deceived by not taking the chapter out to the Bible. Okay, so what I'm trying to say to you is we need a whole Bible approach, and I'm just going to keep saying it over and over. The last way that we get deceived is by doing any of that, what I just listed, without the help of the Holy Spirit, without inviting the Holy Spirit to be part of that. We can read this entire book. If we don't read it with the Spirit, we're not getting anything out of it. And you've got to believe, like I just heard the Lord saying right now, believe in faith that when you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, He is helping you, right? The Lord's not tricking us. The Holy Spirit's not like fake coming with us. He will help us. That's a promise of the Spirit. So I want to look at some things from verses 5 and 6 for a second. Who does the beast blaspheme? God, His name, His tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Okay, blaspheming, so this is from verses 5 and 6. Blaspheming those who dwell in heaven is the height of arrogance. We know this because there's related verses if you cross-reference. So we've done a lot in this church with looking at the Strong's and trying to figure out how passages are related to other passages. Another thing you can do is look at the cross-references of what people believe are related passages. So I'm going to be doing a little bit of that today. But it's only pride and arrogance that leaves us believing we can provide for ourselves in any way that is better than Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So Psalm 73:9, so if you were going to write something down under verse 5 and 6, Psalm 73:9, they set their mouths against the heavens and their tongues strut across the earth. Have you ever heard someone whose tongue is strutting across the earth? You can probably find it on any news channel any night of the week, right? Daniel 7, verse 8, while I was contemplating the horn, suddenly another horn, a little one, came up among them, and the three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like those of a man and mouth that spoke words of arrogance. The mark of the beast, released by the Antichrist, allowed by the Father of glory, is coming from a place of arrogance. If you are arrogant and not humble, you are already taking the mark of the beast. That means do not be arrogant about what the mark of the beast is or isn't. Okay? Daniel 7:25, he will speak out against the Most High and oppress the saints of the Most High, intending to change the appointed times and laws. And the saints will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. Daniel 11:36, then the king will do as he pleases and will exalt, this is speaking of the Antichrist, and will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and he will speak monstrous things against the God of gods. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed, for what has been decreed must be accomplished. So that leads me to the next part. Who is the beast given authority over? Verse 7. Let me just flip back here. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Are we around for the mark of the beast? This is clear. So you don't need to talk about it or fight about it with anyone. We're here. It's against the saints. You know why God is doing this? He's doing it to test us, me and you. So anybody who's teaching you, you don't need to worry about the mark of the beast right now. They're not leading you in righteousness on this topic. I'm not saying they're not righteous in some ways. I'm saying on this topic, they're not leading you rightly because you've got to be always getting ready for the mark of the beast. So people say, well, you shouldn't focus on the mark of the beast. Ladies, can we do more than one thing at a time? Yes, men, you can too. I just know I can, right? We can do lots of things at a time. We can focus on the glory of God and his love for us. And we can focus on helping our sisters and our brothers and healing and still look at the mark of the beast and practice not taking it, okay? So who is the beast given authority over? Everyone. Everyone, it's only our willingness to admit that this can occur that saves us from having it occur. It is only humility that sets us free from the mark. God himself gave the beast, the Antichrist, this authority to overcome the saints. It's you and me, brother. That's who God did that. Why? Because he loves us and he wants us as close as we can be to him. So the mark is actually meant to be a stumbling block. 1 Corinthians 1:23, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Wisdom is laying down your smarts. It's laying down your wisdom and getting the heart of God. It's getting his voice. Freedom is found in sacrifice, in giving up what we have. Money is a distraction. And this pressure of money right now, this pressure of being given a bunch of money, all of these different things, this pressure is a blessing. Jen was singing this the other day in the prayer room. The pressure is a blessing. The mark of the beast is a blessing to you if you take it God's way. 1 Peter 2:4, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Also contained in scripture, behold, catch me here. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. We were appointed to the word. We were appointed to follow Jesus. And He's putting stumbling blocks in front of us that he wants us to leap over by his power, that he wants us to go through, but he doesn't want us to crush all these things and get them out of the way. So if you're running around sharing everything about how to avoid the mark of the beast, you're not sharing anything that's helping anyone. If you're not saying, listen to God, repent before him, you've got to be talking about the whole Bible, not just some little tips and tricks for avoiding the mark. Tim? Yes. Yep. You want to systematically incorporate the word. Yep. And the Holy Spirit leads us through that system. My system will be different from Paula's and different from Vince's, but we've got to get the whole system in there. There's one way out of worshiping the beast. That's in verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, the beast. Those whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So we need to get in that book. This is a heart posture. Yeah, this is a heart posture. Here's Psalm 100. Psalm 100 just tells you real quick how to do this. I like it because someone I love sings about this a lot. A song of praise for the Lord's faithfulness to his people, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are the people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. The mark of the beast is good for us. It's good for us. We don't want to take it, but it is good for us because it is a line that we can say, how do I line up with you, God? It's one more way that we can say, how can I line up to you? So that is freedom. I think I have that written somewhere in here too. So here's Psalm 69:28. It says, may they be blotted out of the book of life and not listed with the righteous. In context, this passage is about those who have no pity. Verse 19. So I just was reading to you Psalm 69:28. Now I'm going to 69:19. You know my reproach, my shame and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. This is about David, and this is about Jesus on that cross, isn't it? Right? And so part of righteousness is our love for other people. And it's not giving them reproach. Have you seen any Christians heaping reproach on the whole rest of the world right now? It is sick and wrong what we are doing. We have to stop and we have to take responsibility for where we think it's everyone else. It's not, it's us. Because if you ever look down your nose with disdain at someone because they just aren't getting it, that's not okay. It's not okay because reproach broke David's heart. He looked for someone to take pity. Jesus on that cross, he looked for someone to take pity and there wasn't anyone. This is how we get in the Lamb's book of life. We get righteous in how we think about other people. Matthew 25:34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In context, this relates directly to generosity. Verse 35, or I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. We've got to be generous with our time, with our money, with our resources, with our prayers. If we are not generous, we will not be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 3:5, like them, he who overcomes will be dressed in white, and I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. That was Revelation 3:5. Let's look in context. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. This is what, if you want to be in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've got to hold fast and repent. And you can't just do this outward little list of things that are going to protect you from the mark. You've got to change in your heart. I've got to change in my heart. If I had time, I'd read about the faithful church. I'd read about that church of Philadelphia. You can read it later. We have to be really careful about what we say and think. There isn't, okay, I have heard this preached so many times, and I kind of got irritated about it this week. So, Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you give me your heart. Hey, you can accidentally take the mark. That's how it goes down, by accident, by you not caring about it. I've heard so much preaching that says, oh, you can't accidentally take the mark. You can accidentally take the mark. You can't accidentally not take it. Why? Because Revelation 13 just told us it's put out as a test to you, as a test for the saints. All those other people who haven't accepted Jesus, they're going to hell anyways. This is a choice for you and me. You can accidentally take the mark of the beast. Don't. How do you not? Ask. Be intentional. Figure it out with the Lord. That doesn't mean I got to figure out which thing is it and tell everybody what to do. It means if I don't hear him, I got to learn. I got to learn how. Talked about that. This isn't going to be taking the mark of the beast. I just want to let you know, this isn't going to be something where half of the world knows it's the mark of the beast and the other half doesn't. This is going to be something that almost no one says is the mark of the beast. This is what kind of grossed me out a little bit about the whole COVID vaccine discussion. There were so many people who were preaching, this isn't the mark of the beast. And again, I'm going to tell you, I don't think it is. But it has so many earmarks of the mark of the beast that we should have been really talking to the Lord about it. And if you decided to get the vaccine, or if you decided not to, and you did either one of those things without talking to the Lord and hearing what he was saying to you, you did it wrong, and you should just tell him you're sorry. I've talked to a lot of people. I get a lot of messages in Messenger about the mark of the beast. I've talked to a lot of people about it. I don't always share my position on COVID vaccines because I don't think it's helpful to people what I've decided to do. But what I always say is, what did the Lord say to you? And I'm going to tell you, in all of these conversations, I know three people, literally three people, who gave me a firm answer on what did God say to you about it. That doesn't mean that some other people didn't have one, but two of those people are me and Tom, and one is in this room. So I just want to tell you, it's important, not that you tell everybody what your firm answer was, but that you've got one either way. because our fears, right? Our fears are working on both sides of this. So if we've just dismissed this thing as something we don't need to hear the Lord on, we're doing it wrong. And do you want to know what? That was the same thing as whether I should go to Meijer today or not. We should be talking to the Lord about all the things, and we should be hearing from him on all the things. We're just learning. We're just learning, and he loves to give us the chance to learn. So keep trying. You made a decision to go out and do something today that you didn't talk to the Lord about. Just tell him you're sorry that you didn't talk to him, and ask him to help you to talk to him next time. He wants to help us. This is how we become bright and shining lamps. It's funny, in the 2018 messages about the mark of the beast, Tom was teaching then about being bright and shining lamps. And this is the middle of the series that he's in right now, is being bright and shining lamps. Part of that is talking about hearing God, and talking about how that's got to be everything that we're about. Again, this won't be something that half the world understands and half doesn't. Most people won't get us. When we get to the mark of the beast, most people are going to say, you're killing your kids by not doing that. Or they're going to say, how could you not do that? They're going to be telling you that in the church. That's why this COVID vaccine is so urgent to hear the Lord about, because it's a choice that you're making that, I mean, ask a nurse. She's got decisions to make. I've talked to a couple nurses who could lose their jobs if they don't take the vaccine. That's their livelihood. I'm not saying this is the mark of the beast. I'm saying it's enough important. We should be asking God. Okay. So, God will find fault with us if we're not bright shining lamps. The prophets agree. You will say to me, Romans 9:19, I'm going to start with. 23 is the main passage that I'm thinking of. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed, you're the thing formed, I'm the thing formed, say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for his glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. God prepared us to be bright shining lamps, and he will find fault with us if we're not bright and shining right now. We got to clean it up, and we got to get talking. We got to get saying. Because it's we're running out of time. He's not out of time, but that person that he sent you to talk to is running out of time. You are running out of time. He says in Hosea, I won't read this one because I didn't write the, this is still Romans. This is why the prophets agree. This is Romans 9:25. He also says in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called the sons of the living God. He wants us to focus in on this. If you read the rest of that passage, so maybe make a note to catch the rest of that, that's Romans 9, all the way to the end of the chapter there. This pertains to Israel as well. The mark of the beast is meant to be a stumbling block for those not watching and praying. The mark of the beast is not irrelevant. If someone tells you the mark of the beast is irrelevant, they're wrong, okay? They're wrong. We can't seek God and what eternal life really is if we haven't wrestled openly with the mark of the beast. There is nothing spelled out in the Bible that we can deem as irrelevant. Taking the mark of the beast and falling away are very intertwined. Church attendance has dropped every year since 2003. This isn't just a COVID thing. This is the failure of the church to set a vision and a failure of the people that go to church to want vision. This is a failure. The migration to online church means a lot is being missed. This is similar to all of money being moved online. It's the same reality. We can do money now my kids will tell you, I joined Venmo a couple days ago, and now I know that Tom Moorsman gave money to Peter Webb, and I know that my cousin that I haven't seen in literally 20 years paid his rent. Online money is weird, okay? So is online church. You can't just do one. You've got to get rooted and grounded, right? You can't be rooted and grounded in anything but the rock, but we've got to get it. The world and the fact that the church responds in worldly ways with plans and schemes. No, we can't get into those plans and schemes. We can't figure out how to do this. We got to come together and do this washing machine. We got to come together and talk about it. We've got to pray and listen for God to respond to us. But is he only talking in your own head? No. We listen to our friends. We listen to our friends who have good fruit, who are doing this washing machine too. We pray, we talk to God, listen for his response. This is doing something other than just the opposite of our nature. It should be that we're growing in Christ and becoming more like him. Isaiah links the thoughts of God, which are different from ours, to provision and abundance. So this is Isaiah 55. This is going to be a passage that I would say to you, go back some time and read this whole passage, Isaiah 55, verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Jumping down to verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Our thoughts mess us up. We want God's thoughts. For he will abundantly pardon. You haven't done this right the whole time? That's okay. Go to him. He will abundantly pardon you. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. That doesn't mean opposite. That means we're growing into something, right? Our thoughts aren't the opposite of God's. We are growing up into his thoughts. The mark will do its work, verse 11 of Isaiah 55, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. You get hearing God singing to him. You get this right. There is a promise for you. There is a promise for you. And what do you have to do to get it right? Just want it. Yeah, ask him and want to get it right. None of us are getting it totally right. We are going. Paula says this a lot. We are going for perfection. We've got to believe it's possible, but we've got to know we're not there yet. That's what Noah was actually prophesying and singing about today. We are thankful, but we are not satisfied. Our muscle memory in this area, in the area of the mark of the beast, it can't be separate from the rest of our lives. We have to consider every single thing we do in the spirit. So I skipped around a little bit, so I want to say this about muscle memory. The reason that it's important right now to be hearing God about the COVID vaccine or whatever your thing of the day is that you think is going to get you out of some kind of judgment, the reason that you've got to hear God is because we've got to practice hearing God so that when we're under pressure, we go to him first, okay? So I have muscle memory for different things. On Tuesday, my muscle memory, I drive to this place all the time. My muscle memory took me down Oakland toward 94. And that exit's closed and I can't get off. And I started going and I started thinking, ooh, this will be a good illustration for my message. So I'm thinking about that. And lo and behold, I passed Portage Road, which was my next way, my next off ramp. And I went on and I had to go all the way to Galesburg and come all the way back because my muscle memory was good for getting myself to the house of prayer. It wasn't good for this moment where I needed to shift. Right? When I've got a dog outside running at me, my muscle memory is panic and freaking out. I got to change that. I have to repent of it. I have to let my friends pray for me about it. I've got to let my husband tell me, you're sinning by being this scared about it. I've got to receive these things, and I've got to change so that panic isn't my first reaction when something bad happens. If we don't practice hearing God in everything that we do, we've got no muscle memory when the mark of the beast comes, when the pressure's on, when they're saying, you're going to lose your job if you don't do this. You've got to know, God, is this the moment? Is this the moment? And he promises that to the faithful, he'll be there. He will be there for you. You exercise that muscle, right? So think about this. Just think about this in sports. Those of you who play sports, if you are practicing kicking that ball into the soccer goal and you practice it and it comes at you, what's going to happen is as that defender comes towards you, your memory will just be to kick it and get it going there. You practice that jump shot in basketball and you practice that jump shot. When someone comes and gets in your way, you know how to make that shot. This is why police practice over and over shooting at targets. This is why the army practices shooting. So in the moment, you can get that shot off and straight and your gun's not going back like this, right? You've got to practice. But if you are practicing the wrong things, that is going to be your muscle memory. So guess what? If your practice is all the things you're going to say to the person, or if your practice is all of the places you're going to hide in the places you're going to run when this happens, if your practice is to fight on Facebook about the things you see coming, that's what you're going to do when the pressure's on. So we want to practice faith, hope, and love. We want to practice growing in the fruits of the Spirit because this will save us from the mark of the beast. So we want to, Paula talked about when she spoke, we want to get out of our logic and reasoning. It's our logic and reasoning that are going to mess us up. We want to get into hearing the voice of our Father. And we got to get out of impatience because I think a lot of times we feel like the pressure's on. And so we make a snap decision when really we didn't need to make it that fast. Have you ever done that? Have you ever made a quick decision and then realized later that was the wrong decision? And if you just waited a minute, some more facts would have come into evidence and you wouldn't have even had to make the decision in the first place. Sometimes you really got to just be praying for God to increase your patience. Yes. Okay, I'm just going to run through a couple of these last couple points, but I'll tell you the passages, and you can look at them later if you want. According to Revelation 13, 11 to 15, there are false or lying signs and wonders. The decision to not worship the beast or respond according to these signs can result in death. So I'm going to read this. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth. Were these people saints? Yes, they're saints. They can be deceived. They can be. You want to not be. So you got to ask. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast. Can people who have been recently freed from captivity and led by a pillar of fire and a cloud, can they make an idol and worship that? Yes, history says, yes, that can happen. Woe to you who think it can't happen to you. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. We've got to walk in faith now. We've got to hear God's voice now. If we don't, hey, Zephaniah 3 is really good on this, but I am going to skip it just for the sake of time. Because I want you to hear the consequences of not doing what I'm talking about. Sorry. Oh, I thought I was going to get a lot further, as you can see. Yeah, I might wish I had brought my Bible. Here it is. Okay. So the seventh section says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Should people be trying to figure out what the mark of the beast is? Yes. What do you have if you're trying to do that? Wisdom. Wisdom tries to figure this out. And here's why. Revelation 14, verse 8. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out in full strength into the cup of his indignation. It's the full strength of the wrath of God. We have got to hear him. We have got to exercise ourselves to hear him. That means we come here and we do this. We pray, we talk to him, we listen to our friends who are praying and talking to him. And when someone tries to tell us that the mark of the beast is irrelevant, we tell them the truth. It's not. We speak the truth. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstones in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. What is the point of the prayer room? Resting day and night. That's the point. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Believers, we have got to teach each other about this and not ignore this commandment. This is how we are salt and light in the earth. And I'll end with this. Matthew 5:19. Believers are salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses his flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or prophets. He didn't come to destroy that, this whole word that hangs together. He came to fulfill it all together, the whole Bible, the whole story, which includes the mark of the beast. Whoever, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot, and whoever's coming up for worship can come, whatever jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men to do so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The thing that leads to the falling away is not progressing or going forward. It's our words that lead us to judgment. So this is why the truth and love is so important in the midst of judgment. This is why we have to commit before the Lord how we speak. And this is why we don't condemn prophecies like I talked about last time, but we learn to speak prophetically. Luke 12 actually takes this entire process, and so this is another passage I would just suggest that you read, but I'm going to pray, which I know aren't the Bible, but they're in the Bible, so I'm going to pray them. I'm going to pray the headings that come out of Luke 12, and I'm going to pray them over us that we would be centered on what God's saying about the mark of the beast. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us be aware of our own hypocrisy and be aware where we see hypocrisy in the church. Jesus, I am asking that you would teach us the fear of the Lord. Lord, would you give us boldness to confess Christ before men? Lord, I'm asking that we would see the parable of the rich fool and how the stuff that we lay up, if it's not treasures in heaven, it is meaningless. Lord, I ask you that we would not worry. We thank you for your provision for us. God, we see that there are faithful servants and there are evil servants. God, that both of them think they are serving you. I'm asking that you would find us faithful. I just say before you that you, Christ, you bring division. I don't want to be divided from you. I want to be with you when you come.
With you where you are.
Lord, help us to discern the time and make peace with our adversary. In Jesus' name.